Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. This is episode 293. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and thank you for joining me for another episode. Sorry, I'm just, I realized that I didn't update the show topics. I knew I forgot something. But, yeah, so we're back, 293 episodes. And we've got a few things. So we've got a little bit of tabletop news, a little bit of entertainment news, and a little bit of gaming news. You know, and as far as, you know, some positive, some negative, as it usually goes. But a big thing for those who listened last week, I would like to issue a statement. I'm actually having a fun time in Warcraft Rumble. So I said, you know, folks had reported that it was kind of mid and very aggressive strategy. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. I'm going to go on the record. It is a little aggressive. But you know, it is fun to play without spending any money. In full disclosure, I have purchased some of the bundles. Just because I'm getting that much value out of it. But yeah, and it's great. It's fun. For those who are listeners who are playing, there is a guild that still has plenty of openings. So if you're interested, shoot me a message. But yeah, I wanted to issue that. As I finally was able to get in and play and kind of see for myself. And yeah, I mean, you know, lane-based game. Lane-based tower defense game with little units and stuff. You know, I think it is carried a lot by the Warcraft branding. So, but yeah, I just wanted to get that out there and issue my own statement and my own personal thoughts and feelings on that. So yeah, now that I covered that, yes, this is the 8-Bit Adventures podcast, here to bring you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. Forgot to mention that in the opening. But yeah, so we've got 6 news topics for this week. And hope everyone's doing well. If you haven't seen, individual clips of each topic, have been going out on TikTok as well. Unfortunately they're long enough that I can't do YouTube shorts, but there's that. For those who have listened to the other podcasts that I do, Berkshire Bites or Tales of Jamora, they haven't updated in a while, but I have moved the podcast hosts, so I'm in a little bit of a trial period to make sure that nothing goes wrong. If that all goes well, I will be moving this onto the same host. So just to preface in case anything goes wrong. but I haven't seen any issues, and it looks like everything's redirecting properly. So, yeah, the goal is to reduce expenses. So it'd be moving from a host that charges about $10 a month per podcast to one that is free. So looking forward to that. Hopefully no technical difficulties. I might do it over Thanksgiving because there will be no show that Saturday. So I might do it that week, so to give it a week to try and figure out any issues. all right. So now that we got that out of the way, let's get into the topics for this week. All right. So first up, Games Radar reports that a demo of the survival RPG Enshrouded was a big hit with the crowd at Steam Next Fest. The game mixes survival mechanics and open world action RPG gameplay in what was touted in the article as, quote, a blend of Valheim and Dark Souls. The game releases in January. So, yeah, it looks like, you know, action RPG sort of Souls-like gameplay, using a lot of variety of weapons. You fight monsters in like an open world setting, big bosses, but having sort of these survival mechanics in the base building that Valheim brings, and supporting supposedly up to 16 player co-op. Very excited for that. This may be, you know, something to take a look at, especially if you were a big fan of Valheim, especially taking a look at that. And the game's sort of preview trailer had a great sense of humor to it as well. Sort of the narrator kind of talking. You know, I don't think that humor is necessarily going to be the tone in game, but just from their promotional materials. And I enjoy when people have some sense of humor in their promotional materials. So, yeah, and Shrouded out in January on Steam. Next up. Nintendo issued a press release announcing that it will develop a live-action Legend of Zelda film in conjunction with Sony Pictures, which is, you know, that's a little bit of a weird one, and Avi Arad and his production company. The film will be directed by Wes Ball, and no other details concerning that yet. Aside from, it's Nintendo and Sony are doing like a 50-50 investment stake in the film. Little unusual that they're not going with Universal again, but I don't know if that's just sort of Nintendo kind of testing out with different movie production companies. So yeah. We'll have to see. Live action Legend of Zelda, I don't know. I mean, if they're able to do, I mean, a lot of practical effects would be great. I'm not super familiar with a lot of Wes Ball's work. So yeah. well, we're going to have to see how it goes. Here's hoping that it's a lot better than most video game films. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited, but it could go really bad. It could be pretty terrible. So here's hoping that they just like kind of push it as a, you know, standard fantasy film. And that, at least as far as like the big crutch of a lot of fantasy films, is like a lot of the names and everything are like they're kind of just nonsensical and like hard to follow. And so like people have a hard time picking up stuff and characters. Thankfully, a lot of the names in Zelda are pretty easy to remember. And they're already in the public consciousness. So, yeah. And no word on like what sort of, if it's going to be an original Zelda thing or if it's going to be based on a particular game. I feel like some Zelda games are probably better suited than others. There's too much for Ocarina of Time. And there's too much time traveling going on. But you know, like Wind Waker might be a cool one. You know, that ends up being more of a pirate film. You know, I think Twilight Princess would be a tough one as well. So, yeah. Plot twist. Maybe it's just they're just going to do a live action adaptation of the cartoon. There we go. And I'm going to leave on that note. All right. Next up. IGN reports that six years after launching, the Overwatch League is being disbanded. As Blizzard refocuses the game's esports program. The league's fate was subject to a vote by the teams within the league, with any teams who opted not to continue, like not to re-sign a contract, receiving just a $6 million payout, cash out. So yeah, my guess is most of the teams opted to just get the $6 million payout because notably, viewership numbers were not there based on what Activision Blizzard was hoping to get. Investment money was starting to dwindle. So like apparently many team owners were actually operating their teams at a loss. So it was just not sustainable. You know, and I think the number was they sunk $90 million into investment with like Twitch and to like basically get it up there and like out in front of people. And, you know, Overwatch, it's kind of hard to, it's in my mind, it's a hard game to follow as a viewer. Just because of like how fast paced it is. And like, and the fact that, you know, there's just so much chaos going on. And prior to, I guess this last season or maybe an earlier season, like you could just end up switching characters multiple times within a match, you know, which could also make it hard to follow. So yeah. So Overwatch League, no longer a thing. So we'll have to see what becomes of Overwatch esports going forward. You know, I think it was a very ambitious endeavor to try and get it to be like a professional league sort of thing. But it also points out, you know, the pitfalls of trying to establish, you know, something similar to like a major sports league with a video game, because video games, like all of their IP is owned by the parent company, which I think hampers the level of success. Excuse me. So, just because all of the investment comes from that parent company, and, you know, it's also reliant on that company to continue supporting that game and say not making changes to it on a regular basis. So yeah, I guess good luck to everybody out there who was in the Overwatch League. And if you were a fan, of watching it, you know, I remember like I kind of followed it during the first season. And then after that, I was kind of like, it's not great. So yeah, leave a comment, if you were actually a fan of the Overwatch League, and your thoughts on it. Next up, Bell of Lost Souls reports on details concerning new orc and elf ancestries coming up in the Pathfinder 2E remaster. So this was announced like a little while back. But there were like a couple of pieces that were revealed in the article. Some like new ancestry feats. Orcs are going to be included as an option in the core rulebook. So normally, you know, orcs not included in the core rulebook for a lot of these fantasy games. They're usually like sort of an extra option after request by players. But yeah, so nice to kind of see they're included. And like, you know, I kind of feel like Warhammer and Warcraft are kind of like some of the credit goes there for players like looking to play as like goblins and orcs and things like that. Half orcs and half elves will be overhauled into their new mixed ancestry options. So in particular with half orcs, like they're going to get their own name. So instead of just being like, oh, just half, like they'll actually have like a cultural name, that just applies to any sort of, orc mixed with other ancestries. And this is part of the remaster, you know, to kind of bring up to date some mechanics that you know, it seems like a lot of pressure was being put on Wizards to make changes with 5e, and it seems like Paizo is kind of taking note. I don't know if the same level of pressure was being put on Pathfinder, but it seems like, you know, Paizo's kind of keeping an eye on sort of the climate in the community, and making these changes, you know, kind of at the same time that Wizards is making changes to a lot of like ancestry based mechanics. So things like ability score increases and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll be interested to see what comes out of that with the remaster. Yeah, so that'll be coming fairly soon. I know Paizo did something where they're putting out errata now, like more quickly, because they're doing it through digital means, and then like later putting print errata out. So I don't know if we'll see digital versions of the remaster much earlier than the print versions, but so yeah. Next up, Kotaku reports that the Super Mario Brothers movie is coming to Netflix in the United States on December 3rd. It's currently streaming on Peacock, and you can also buy or rent it through other services like iTunes and Prime and things like that. But yeah, I know I personally don't have Peacock, so the fact that it will be coming to Netflix is great. We unfortunately still have Netflix, but yeah, that's just a quick piece of news. Because we knew it was coming to other services, yeah, it was also a little weird that like it came to Peacock first and not Paramount. Because I think Paramount is tied in with Universal somehow. So yeah, that just seemed weird to me that it wasn't on Paramount. So, and then finally, Microsoft issued a press release that Xbox is pairing with In-World AI to develop generative AI tools for game developers. Now, this is setting off a bunch of red flags already. The toolset is slated to include an AI design copilot, which is basically a fancy name for an AI that will write scripts, dialogue, and quests, basically like a lot of text options. And then an AI character runtime engine, which is an engine that will dynamically generate stories, quests, dialogue as you're playing the game. So this is basically an option for game developers to not pay writers. Like that's what it's boiling down to. And let's be real, that's what it's going to be used for. So yeah, not being very well received by individuals who work in game development who would be affected by this. Yeah, I'm not sold on it. I would rather see people, you know, put in the work. You know, I think what I would rather see is, you know, engines that will like dynamically generate like a map for things that would use like a tile-based map generation. You know, because then like, and even then, like still having, and it just like imports assets so that you would still have to say, get an artist to create the assets to then put on your map. And instead it's just like, I'm just thinking in terms of like, you know, something like RPG Maker or something similar, where then you know, if you're a small indie dev, you could, like, if you have all your assets together, you could then run it through and then just have it come up with, you know, a map for you. Obviously, if you're a studio that has a larger team, you should just hire somebody to come up with that, you know? I'm generally in favor of AI tools that allow you to automate tedium, you know, as opposed to doing stuff to replace talent. If that makes sense. So this is coming. We'll see if Microsoft backtracks at all. My guess is probably not, but yeah, generally there was a bit of a backlash from the community. Especially since it writes scripts and everything. So now this is intended to replace a bunch of creative development. So yeah. That is the news for this week. Thank you all for joining me. A little bit of a short episode, but I wanted to get through topics pretty quickly. Especially since it was running late due to some just absolute brute force attacks on the 8-Bit Adventures site over like the past 2 weeks. So I had to take care of some of that and some issues with that this morning. And unfortunately, that caused us to start late. But thank you all for joining me. If you're listening to this as an audio podcast, thank you for listening. If you would like to see more stuff from 8-Bit Adventures, you can check out 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support that content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/8bitadventures. I'll put a link in the chat. Test out this Restream chat. Patreon.com/8bitadventures. You can become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and you help support everything that's under the 8-Bit Adventures umbrella. So, good value. Good value there. Opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his work over at ProfessorShyGuy.bandcamp.com. And with that wraps things up for this week. So once again, thank you all for joining me. As always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.